This week we will discuss recognizing the enemy. Chazal say that the Yetzer Hara does not suddenly try to tempt a person to commit severe averis, rather he does so in stages. At first the Yetzer Hara convinces the individual about something small, then he pushes further and eventually tries talking the person into serving Avodah Zarah. The Friedeker Rebbe explains that the Yetzer Hara may even begin by approving to the mitzvahs being done, asei kach, but rationalizes and limits the extent of their fulfillment. He encourages one to watch his health, be normal, find favor in the eyes of others, and bring proofs and explanations for all his claims. This cools a person down and enables the Yetzer Hara to push him further into actually committing avedus. Throughout one's entire life, one should not rely on his righteousness, for Yochanan Kohen Gadol served 80 years in the Beis HaMikdash and then strayed and became a tzedoki. A person must always be wary of the Yetzer Hara, for even when one forgets about the Yetzer Hara does not forget about the person. He acts like a friend, but in reality is trying to destroy him completely. A righteous person once met a troop of soldiers returning from a victorious battle, loaded with plenty of spoils. The man told them, "Now be prepared for the real war." Surprised, they asked him to explain. "The war the Yetzer Hara will fight when you celebrate with the spoils," he clarified. The Tzaddik Reb Meir of Premishlan related, "One wintry day, while traveling with my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai of Kermanitz, our wagon reached an incline, and it seemed the carriage would topple over at any moment. Full of youthful courage, I prepared to quickly jump out, but my Rebbe held on to me with his hand and said, 'Sit down calmly, no bad will befall you.' So it was, the wagon passed the incline safely. After some time had passed, and I had already forgotten about my desire to jump out, the carriage, driving on flat land, turned over, and we all fell out onto the snow. Reb Mordechai began to laugh, 'Nu, you see?' But I did not understand to what he was referring. Quite a while later, I realized he had been intimating a lesson in Avodas Hashem. Sometimes a Yid is worried that he will chas v'shalom fall into the clutches of the Yetzer Hara, who is constantly out to ensnare him, and Hashem helps him stay safe. However, when a Yid is assuredly going along his path and does not even realize that the Yetzer Hara is ready to pounce, specifically then he is likely to fall into his clutches." In Yechidus, the Rebbe Marash told the Rebbe Rashab, "The Yetzer Hara, though called an animal, can at times act slyly and clothe itself in the guise of a straightforward, humble tzaddik, requiring one to use much cleverness to uncover its tricks. The Yetzer Hara manifests itself in each person according to his nature. One person may suddenly feel a powerful desire to learn chassidus, yet it is coming from the Yetzer Hara who is trying to prevent him from davening at length, or similar." The Rebbe Marash concluded, "Take this as a general rule and remember it always. Anything that actually leads to active avodah, changing the midos, and is met up with opposition, even the most noble, is coming from the Yetzer Hara." Relating this episode, the Rebbe Rashab added, "When I left Yechidus, I changed my avodah completely. Until then, I had assumed that the Yetzer Hara can only encourage a person to do negative things, and it is therefore necessary for one to be cautious only concerning those matters. I had never imagined that there can be a frum Yetzer Hara, let alone a chassidish Yetzer Hara, who is there just to restrain him from being involved in his true avodah." The tzaddik Reb Nochum of Chernobyl lived in acute poverty. Once a chassid brought him a gift of 300 rubles, and the gabbai, who also oversaw the needs of the home, was glad that the large debts would finally be paid up. When this chassid left Reb Nochum's room, tens of other chassidim had their turn, until they stopped to daven ma'ariv. After ma'ariv, the tzaddik closeted himself in his room for a while, and then opened the door asking for one chassid who had been in Yechidus earlier. After the chassid left, the tzaddik continued seeing chassidim late into the night. After all the chassidim had left, the gabbai entered the Rebbe's room to request some money, having already made a listing of the amount he would pay each creditor. Reb Nochum opened a drawer where he kept the money given for his personal use, and the gabbai was stunned to see only a few silver and copper coins, but no sign of the 300 rubles. The tzaddik told him to take all the coins, a total of 100 rubles. But the gabbai remained rooted to his place, downcast, but unable to say anything. The tzaddik asked him why he looked so sad, if after all Hashem had sent them money. At this point, the gabbai was no longer able to contain himself and asked about the 300 rubles. The Rebbe replied, "When I received the money, I wondered why I had merited such a sum. So when one of the chassidim told me about his lack of funds for tuition, rent, and his daughter's wedding, it dawned on me that Hashem has given me the special schus of supporting this yid. In fact, the amount the chassid needed totaled the exact amount that I had received. However, upon deciding to give the 300 rubles to this chassid, another thought came to my mind. Why give so much money to one person when it can be divided between six families? Faced with the dilemma of these two options, I closed myself in my room. After thinking it through, I came to the conclusion that the second idea, to divide the money among a number of families, did not come from the Yetzer Tov, for then it would have entered my mind immediately. Only once I had thought of the mitzvah did this thought come along to trick me." Reb Nachum concluded, "I fulfilled the advice of the Yetzer Tov and gave the chassid the entire 300 rubles." Upon relating this story, the Friedrich Rebbe added, "From this we see how important is discernment. Always knowing from where a thought is coming. This discernment can only be acquired through working on oneself." The Rebbe applied this concept. If one is aroused to help another or to spread Yiddishkeit, he must evaluate. If he had been conversing idly, then this inspiration is coming from the Yetzer Tov. However, if this arousal has come to mind, specifically during his learning, then it is not coming from Kedusha. Likewise, if during davening one is suddenly inspired to distribute siddurim or to watch someone else daven, he should know that currently this is an inappropriate activity. Concerning those who out of humility abstain from avoda, the Friedrich Rebbe said, "Even before becoming Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek would farbring with chassidim for Simchas Beis HaShieva, discussing chassidus and avodas Hashem. At one such farbringin he said, 'My grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, and my father-in-law, the Mittel Rebbe, have made chassidim clever, klug, so that they should know how to recognize the Nefesh HaBahamis in all his false costumes and clever antics.'" The Friedrich Rebbe related, "As a child, my father, the Rebbe Rashab, taught me Tanya, explaining in depth how a chassidish child must change himself. At that time, we learned the letter of the Alter Rebbe, in which he strongly warns his chassidim not to scorn those yidden who have fought with them or raised themselves above them. My father explained, the Nefesh HaBahamis convinces a person that such behavior comes from the good midas of Kedusha. Being proud of his Avodas Hashem fools him into regressing further and further." The Rebbe would often quote the Rebbe Marash, "To fool Hashem, you surely can't. Others, you also won't be able to fool. Who then will you fool? Yourself? Is it a kunst to fool a fool?" Shlomo HaMelech writes, "One should wage war against the Yetzer Hara using clever strategies. Some record this as a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah, an obligation derived from Nach. Chazal say that one should always use all kinds of sly tactics to achieve fear of Hashem. David HaMelech said to Hashem, 'Ribbono shel Olam, every morning upon awakening I would plan aloud. Today I will visit some place or someone's home, and then I would lead my feet to the Beis HaMedrash, thereby tricking the Yetzer Hara and not allowing him to distract me.'" The Tzaddik Reb Naftali of Rapshitz was known for his wit and cleverness. His Rebbe, the Choyza of Lublin, challenged him, "Isn't it written in Torah that one should be simple and straightforward, tamim, in his avodas Hashem?" The Talmud replied, "To reach the level of Tmimus, one must first have wisdom, as our Chachamim instructed to be clever in Yirah Shamayim." The Friedrich Rebbe said that one should use the cleverness of Torah, and especially Chassidus, to recognize and counter the slyness of the Yetzer Hara. Towards the end of one of his personal fasts, the Tzaddik Reb David of Lelov was out on the road and felt an extreme thirst. Suddenly, noticing a spring of cool bubbling water, his thirst intensified to the point that he was about to break his fast and drink. He stood still for a moment to consider the matter and found strength within himself to overcome his burning thirst. Continuing on his way, he felt a great rush of joy, for he had succeeded in subjugating his Yetzer Hara. However, a moment later he said to himself, "This joy is not coming from the Yetzer Tov, but from the Yetzer Hara, who is trying to get me to be filled with pride." To avoid falling into the trap, Reb David returned to the spring and drank his fill. When some people try to bring proof from Torah that children should be taught worldly matters at a young age, the Rebbe disputed their claim, explaining their misunderstanding, and added, "One should not be fazed when someone quotes a Torah source to prove something which is known to be wrong. It must be recognized that within this silk hides the Yetzer Hara."